are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Morning. You didn't sleep in, you're here. That's exciting. Well, it's been a wonderful week, and had an opportunity to drive my bride up to the retreat and get her settled in, and it was really neat to see all the ladies up there ready. They did not like a man on the campus, by the way. I got in some big trouble when I landed. So it was great to see them all anticipating what the Lord was going to do on that retreat for them. But here we are, and we're in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to turn to the fifth chapter. We're going to look at four verses this morning. We talked last week about Jesus being our great high priest. And today I'm going to talk about pressing on to maturity as we look at these various verses. And so move along with me to verse 11. We have much to say about this. Usually when a writer is talking about we have much to say about this, means it's a really significant, important point that he needs to make. And he wants to address a topic matter that's kind of been shoved under the carpet and ignored. So he's bringing to their attention, this is something they need to pay attention to. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Other translations say slow of hearing. In fact, the entry truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not adequate with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5, verses 11 to 14. Now, Rick Warren says that one of the marks of spirituality and maturity occurs when a believer actually graduates from wearing a bib. This is, and I know you're not going to like this bib. Yeah, I just want to model it for you, just so you see. It's somebody made this for me. I did not purchase this, okay? So, for infants, right? And Rick Warren says that when we move from wearing a bib, because a bib represents, I want others to meet my needs. That we move from a bib and we move to wearing an apron. Because an apron means, first of all, you have a good barbecue. Yeah, right, guys? This is my father-in-law's old apron. He made this, he wore this at his barbecues at the cottage. And so Rick Warren believes that once you've put on an apron, you understand something different about maturity. You move from wearing a bib where you feel that other people are responsible to serve you, to feed you, to make sure that everything you have is just as comfortable as can be for your tastes. And he says there's a transformation that has to take place in each believer's life where they decide, I've had enough of the bib. It's time to move to the apron. And I'm going to start, what? Serving others and their needs. And that's a sign of maturity. Well, the Hebrews were really struggling with taking off the bib. They didn't want to take off the bib. They wanted to actually stay in the place where their traditions, where their old doctrines, where their old rituals and practices, were, they were sufficient for them. And the writer of Hebrews is addressing this saying, if you're going to be learning and living in such a way that Christ Almighty is now your high priest, take off the bib, put on the apron, receive the truth that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, he's ascended into heaven, he's seated at the right hand of God, and he, now he's saying, move from just hearing about Christ, move from just receiving Christ to now allowing your salvation to motivate you into what we were doing this morning, into a life of worship, into a life of prayer, into a life of service, into a life where Christ is the focus and where you begin to live in such a way that the second coming of Christ is of utmost importance. He's no longer here, but he's in heaven, and his heavenly work is not completed. It's not completed. He's warfaring. He's defeating the enemy. He's releasing his spirit today, right now, today. He's doing a new work amongst his people. And so the writer of Hebrews was saying that you have a responsibility to move from the bib to the apron. You have a responsibility now from others feeding you milk to solid food. I'm challenging you to move now with a new mindset and a new desire to seek me in your heart. And I want you to cut off your old traditions and your old Jewish ties. And I'm asking you to stop trying to blend in with the culture that's actually influencing the local church at this moment. That's what the writer of Hebrews is addressing. And so in these four verses, we realize that it's our choice. It's our choice whether we are going to be immature or mature Christians. And you can't blame other people. You can't blame your pastor because your pastor didn't feed you the way you thought you should be fed. You can't blame your worship leader because they didn't do the top 20 that you like on the radio. Hello? It's true. You can't blame the leadership of the local church because they're not organizing enough outreach for you to be a part of. What they're saying here is, no, there comes a time when a Christian begins to move from milk to solid food, from the bib to the apron. Amen? And it's hard to make that transition. And I want to share from these four verses, four characteristics, four marks of an immature Christian. And the first one is found in verse 11. When you're an immature Christian, there's a dullness you have towards the Word of God. And it says here, you're slow to learn. That's a dullness towards the Word. You hear the Word. You come to hear the Word. You have Bibles to learn the Word. But you're still in a position where you expect others to feed you. He's addressing the dullness that immature people have toward the Word of God. And where does that begin? And when you read the book of Hebrews, you realize that it's when people begin to doubt the power of God's transforming Word. As a result, the Hebrews became dull of hearing. They were unable to hear the Word, listen to the Word, respond to the Word, and then act upon the Word in faith. And the writer of Hebrews was concerned that they were dull hearers with a condition of spiritual apathy. And he was addressing this spiritual apathy, this laziness that prevented them from having a spiritual fervor for the things of the Lord. God is looking for each of us to have a spiritual fervor. As Americans, we have all the resources we require to have a spiritual fervor for the things of the Lord. There's no reason why we should not be a mature people. with all the resources we've been given. The writer's encouraging the Hebrews to overcome this dullness toward the word and this spiritual stagnation by not choosing to ignore God's instruction. He's encouraging them to step up. We see in verses 7 to 8 in the same chapter, to stand in obedience. To stand in obedience, to stand in the fear of God, to stand as a mature believer and say, I'm not moving. I know what I believe. I know what he's calling me to do. I'm going to stand on it despite what culture is dictating. And can I tell you, society and culture are dictating a lot today. I won't get on that soapbox, but I like that soapbox. You hear what I'm saying? There are seven questions of self-discovery that the great theologian A.W. Tozer encourages us to consider. And these questions, if answered honestly, speak volumes to the place we currently are at in our development as spiritually mature believers. And so if you can go to that slide, there's that. Next slide. What do I want most? I want you to, these are in your notes. If you didn't get notes, get it, because then you can do a Bible study on this or some thought-provoking answers. What do I want most in my life, in my walk with the Lord? What do I think about most? That will tell you a lot about where you're at spiritually. What has most of your concentration? What has most of your energy in your thoughts? How do I use the money that God has given me? You're not in charge of your money. It's not your money. It's God's money. I have people say, I don't want to tithe. I don't have enough money to tithe. It's not your money, tithe. It belongs to God. Give it to God. It's his anyway. How do I use my money? What do I do with my private leisure time? What do you do when no one else is looking? What do you do for fun? What do you do for entertainment? That would tell you a lot about your spiritual maturity. Whose company do I enjoy most and why? Who and what do I admire the most? And what do I laugh at? I was convicted when I heard that question. Ooh, that got me. Because I like to be naughty sometimes. And I like sometimes an off-colored joke that kind of just provokes that little thing in me. I'm just being honest. And when I heard that question, I was like, oh my goodness. I need to look at that in my life, Lord, because that actually is telling me what I value, what I think is significant, and is it connected to a mocking spirit? That was really intriguing to me. And so I had to answer that question. And so some changes have to happen regarding my sense of humor. And you'll be blessed by that, I'm sure. It is vital for believers to assess their own spiritual health. This week, I'm asking you to pick up the notes in the hallway. And I want you to sit down and I want you to answer those 10 questions. And you'll get, from the Holy Spirit, you'll get a pulse of your own spiritual maturity and health. Some of you will say, well, I don't have time for that. I'm pretty busy at work. You do need to make some time to do that. Just asking you to consider that. And we see another characteristic in verse 12. It says this, actually 12a. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Ooh, that's interesting. So it's not like they haven't learned the elementary truths. It's not like they haven't heard the elementary truths. The Hebrews had learned them. They heard them. They were taught them. But what happened was they themselves, because They didn't apply it. They weren't able. They didn't have an ability to share it. And they were saying, you should be teachers at this time. You should be so mature that you should be able to walk into a circumstance, situation, or relationship, or a new person that I'm causing you to interact with. You should have the ability to share with that person. But there's an inability to share. And the ability to share spiritual truth with others is a mark of our maturity. And not all Christians have a teaching gift. That's not what the writer is talking about. He's not like saying, if you don't have a teaching gift, you're off the hook. If you don't have an evangelistic gift, you're off the hook. If you don't have an exhortation gift, you're off the hook. He's saying, well, no. You're a born-again believer, and you've learned the gospel. You have a responsibility to share the gospel message with others. And it doesn't equate whether you're comfortable doing it or not. It equates whether you'll be obedient to do it or not. And so there's a challenge from the writer to the Hebrews. And the immature believer settles for the path of least resistance and are intimidated by the idea of sharing their faith. They'll go around a situation. They'll talk around a situation. They'll redirect conversation. Or if it heads into a conversation that they're not comfortable about, they'll just excuse themselves. And he's saying to the Hebrews, you're past that. You've heard the gospel. You know what Christ has done. You know that he's your high priest. And I'm holding you accountable to share your faith. If the Hebrews had already obeyed the gospel of Christ, they would have been passing that message on to others. And the recipients of this letter, they had been saved. This is now 40 years after the resurrection. 40 to 50, actually. And so they should be at that point where they're willing to share their faith. But instead of helping others grow, the Hebrews were in need of learning again the simple teachings of the Christian life. I remember sitting in a class a few years ago at Northeastern Seminary. And one of the things that I really feared growing up was when I was in a classroom and I was pointed out by the teacher to answer a question. I hated it. I hated it because I knew it would reveal how ignorant I was. I knew it would put me on the spot and I would either be right or wrong. And not like any of you, but I didn't like to be wrong. I hate it. Looking like a fool. And there had been times in school where I was asked to stand up in the class in topic matters such as mathematics or spelling. And I was terrible in those two classes. So terrible, they had to put me back a grade or two to actually teach me how to do those things. And so when the teacher did that, I was embarrassed. And so growing up, I had this thing where I wouldn't speaking class. Oh, I was always speaking at the lunch table. I was speaking when there was a quiet time. I was always disrupting talking, but never intellectually engaged. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So here I am now, and I'm now in seminary. And so there's an expectation that you're going to engage, and you're actually going to have some debates, and you're going to have to provide a rebuttal to the teacher's mindset regarding certain theological discussions and doctrine. And we were in one of these classes. It was called Being Christian, Dr. Sakura's class. And he was brilliant at putting you on the spot and causing you to think outside your comfort zone and challenge you in your own doctrine of faith. And so I was casually sitting there in class, and I was taking notes and very engaged, and he said my name, and I froze. And my mind went blank. My hands started to sweat. And he could tell that I had a deer in the headlight look. Like, please leave me alone. And he pursued me with diligence. And so he knew, listen, he knew that my doctrine, being a charismatic Pentecostal, was different than his doctrine. And he wanted to show the class how you needed to engage in discussions despite having a different belief or doctrine of faith. I had not done that before publicly, nor will I do it again. But that day, there was no choice. And I asked the Lord, I quietly just said, help grant me wisdom to do this. And so I just engaged. And immediately there was a challenge. And immediately the Holy Spirit rushed in, opened up my mind, dropped scriptures, and why I believed in what I believed. And I just stood my ground and said, that's what you believe, but this is what I believe the scripture is saying. And I respect what you believe. However, that's not what's influenced my life at this point. This is why I believe this. I got in the car that night and I just said, what was that all about? And I was shaking and I was sweating and I could have went to the bathroom in my car. That's how stressed I was. It was intense. Can I tell you, we've all been there. We all avoid it. But that's why God put me in seminary, was to teach me that to respect and honor, but to stand up for the things he's taught me to believe in according to the Word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? You're all going to be put in that place. And you would think, Pastor James, you've been at this for a while. What's your problem? When you have an addiction to people-pleasing, that will follow you everywhere. Are you understanding now where I'm going? It was time to grow up, take off the bib, and put on the apron. What are you going to do when you come up against one of those experiences? Ask God to activate your faith like I had to that night. Ask him to give you the confidence against a theologian. And to share the gospel's impact on your personal life. Ask him to do that and he will. We see another characteristic of an immature believer. We see that in verses 12b to 13, and it says this, and moving on, it says, you need milk. This is 12b. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not adequate with the teaching about righteousness. And we look at that and we see here that an immature person settles for a baby food diet. A baby food diet. These immature believers had a skillful attitude which resulted in a lack of spiritual growth. And they weren't inspired to be ongoing growers. And those with a baby food diet are often persuaded by what? Opinions, fads, and current culture. And milk here is knowledge without obedience. When it uses that term, milk, it's saying that these believers, they wanted knowledge without obedience, and they did not want to grow as a person. And those who desire milk are often carnal. They're carnal. What would you mean they're carnal? Well, they're sensuous. They're lustful. They're coarse. They're gross in their behavior. And they're fleshly. That's what that word carnal means. Various commentaries state that that word milk, the milk of the word, refers to what Jesus had been doing, done. And so those who are learning, who just want milk, just wanted to learn about who Jesus was, what his birth was, what his life on earth was, what his current teachings were, about his death, his burial, and resurrection. And he's saying those are the rudimentary foundational truths of the faith. And there's a time when you need to move from just the foundational truth and you need to move into the solid food. You need to move into the food of understanding Jesus Christ as the great high priest. And so they also talk about, commentaries talk about that the meat of the word refers to what Jesus is currently doing in heaven. And we grow in the Christian life on the basis of his finished work and his ascension into the heavens. And because the Hebrews were actually rejecting the saving grace of Christ, and they were now moving back into the belief of their old doctrines, their old rituals, their old practices, rather than moving by faith into the grace of Christ and what Christ was currently asking them to do in their Christian life. So he's saying you need to move into the solid food. Ephesians 4:14 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. So I want to, Pastor Frank, are you in the house? Can you come up? I need you for an illustration. You have to come up here, bud. So let me bring out my utensils. Okay, you have to stand here, and I want you to close your eyes. You have to close your eyes. So one of the things... Close your eyes. Okay, now I'm going to feed you this morning. I've longed to do this so many times. Close your eyes. He's already cheating. Okay, close your eyes. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Come on, come on. All the way. Do you like it?
I prefer pears.
Okay. Well, I brought the pears for you because I knew you would tell me that. So here they are. So he says, I prefer the pears. You ready? Do you want a new spoon? Are you ready? This is nice. You want to take this back to your seat? Okay. You like that better?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Hey, you can take that with you. Now stay here. Now listen, this is the lesson. Even when we're immature and it's time to grow, we're telling people what we want to eat.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Still on baby food, but then we're saying we don't want the carrots. Or we don't want the ugly peas. I don't know about you. I've tasted this. This is terrible. I don't even know how babies do it. You know what I mean? But we want the pears. Like, did you hear Uncle Frank? I want the pears. And that's the truth. Even when you're immature, the reason you stay immature is you're still dictating what you're going to eat. But I know Uncle Frank, so I bought him a steak.
That's what I want.
I know Uncle Frank. I've been to his house, and he ain't feeding me baby food. I get steak. So this is for you, bud.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, would you like some of those sweet potatoes?
Yeah, I'll have them later. Okay? Good. I hope I made the point clear this morning. One of the ways you can evaluate your spiritual maturity is by asking God, what do I dictate you to feed me? When he's trying to feed you meat and you won't receive it because you want pears. I remember 5 years ago when I was sitting in my doctor's office for an annual event, annual checkup. It was an event, let me tell you. And he came in and he said, today is a new day in your life. Because if your life doesn't change, you won't be around. I never knew I was diabetic. I didn't know I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol. I didn't know I had heart disease. And in one day, my life changed. It changed my whole diet, changed the whole way I think, and the whole way I do my life now. God got my attention. God's going to get your attention because God wants you to grow. God wants you to be healthy, and God wants you to be mature. Amen? Amen. I want to move on to the next characteristic, the next mark of an immature believer. Read verse 14 with me, please. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant, what? Constant use have trained themselves to distinguish, in other translations, to discern good from evil. And people who are immature are unable to discern both good and evil. Jack Hayford says this, the more advanced teachings are adapted to mature believers whose spiritual senses are able to discriminate between sound and unsound doctrine and between wholesome and unwholesome conduct. And everything in our society is becoming gray. And it's making it hard for Christians to discern what is good, what is evil, what is good behavior, what is bad behavior, what is God expecting, what am I expecting, and what others are expecting. And we need, as never before, to ask for a spirit of wisdom and discernment in the times in which we're living. As we grow in the Word, we learn to use it in our daily lives. As we apply the word, we exercise our spiritual discernment, our spiritual senses. God has given us spiritual gifts to help us, to convict us of what is right and what is wrong. He's also given us the ability to discern through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say, don't go in that direction. Don't go through that door. Don't do that behavior. Don't practice that. Don't hang out with that situation. Get away from that individual person. He does that. He speaks that way. He gives us a spirit of discernment to know, stay away. The readers of this letter lacked that type of discernment. And they were struggling. What were they struggling with? Well, we're talking about the great priesthood of Jesus Christ. With that came a new spiritual inheritance. Amen? And they were struggling to claim it. They were struggling to walk it. They were struggling to receive their new inheritance. Yes, Abraham did have an inheritance. But through Christ, that inheritance was now fulfilled, and we are the benefactors of that inheritance. Amen? I was at a meeting, a pastor's meeting, probably about a month ago. It was our Elam monthly meeting. And this real energetic discussion happened. And the discussion was surrounded by this group of people that were traveling amongst the Elam churches. And these four individuals were actually challenging the leadership of that local church with legalistic, traditional beliefs and practices that so-called Christian. And because they were legalistic, and because there was a form of the word, but not a form of the spirit behind the word, they were demanding going into these bodies and infiltrating and meeting with individuals to actually lead them in a new direction. And one of the pastors that was at the meeting said he had to put an order of restraint up on them from coming into their fellowship. That's how serious these things are, folks. I sat there and I went, can you give me their names, please? I'm going to sick Bill Carpenter on them when they arrive. I have their names, Bill, don't worry. They're on my phone. I thought, these are the days we're living in. I want you to ask God to help you seek maturity in your faith, to study the word so that you can both understand and live it today for the rest of your life and discern what is good doctrine, what is evil doctrine, what is truth, what is false. Amen? It is your choice today whether you'll be immature or a mature Christian. Nobody else can make that choice but you. You will choose whether you will remain immature or grow into a mature believer in Christ. It is a process, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. It is possible to stand still in your Christian life. Many Christians are believers, but they're standing still and they're not moving forward in their faith today. It's time to embrace the word. It's time to seek the face of God. It's time to take off the bib and put on the apron and serve. It's time to be open, to be sanctified, and allowing those things of the flesh, the world, and the devil to actually be defeated because Christ dwells within your heart. This week, I've made a personal, fresh commitment in my heart. I said, Lord, I want to really take your word more seriously than I do. Lord, I want to really evaluate those things in my life that are roadblocks to a greater faith in you. And I want to serve you, not because I want to please others, because I want to please you. Amen?
Amen.
That's really important. Now listen to, I want to read this quote. This is really significant. I want to leave you with this thought. This is from the book Be Confident by Warren Wiersbe. It says this: most Christians are betweeners. They're between Egypt and Canaan, out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rest and rich inheritance. They are between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They're saved by the blood, but not yet enjoying the newness of resurrection life. What are you? Are you a betweener? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning as we are challenged through the life of the Hebrews. As we're challenged, Lord God, regarding our own maturity in Christ, and we look at these four characteristics of a dullness towards your word, an inability to share your word, Lord God, Father, where we've settled for a baby food diet and we lack discernment, we pray today that you would move us from that place of just drinking milk into a place of eating solid food for Christ. We pray that this would initiate a new process in our sanctification. We pray, Lord God, that we would become diligent seekers, servers. Oh, Lord, that you would help us not to be in-betweeners, but to be all out for Christ as we make a decision to grow in Christ-likeness through the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to open up.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.